Kobayi. In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.
You are about to be so blessed by the words coming to you from the man of God, Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu.
Okay, let's go to Haggai. Book of Haggai, chapter number 2, verse somewhere, 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, fear ye not. NIV, or any of the newer versions that will not go to heaven. What scripture have you put there? So in the ESV, this is how it says. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Hallelujah. My spirit remains in your midst. According to the covenant that I made with you, my spirit remains in your midst. According to the covenant that I made with you, my spirit remains in your midst. According to the covenant that I made with you, my spirit remains in your midst. Hallelujah. Now, so you all know the background to this writing, right? You know that they were supposed to build an inferior design or an inferior building as compared to the one that Solomon built. And God said, I understand that what you are building, the glory of what you are building, does not look like the glory of the past. All right, but I'm going to put my spirit, I've made a covenant with you, and God gives us the date of that covenant. He says that when you came out of Egypt. So God here, Prophet Haggai, is talking about where? Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. I didn't list them in order of. So he's talking about Exodus. He's talking about Leviticus. He's talking about Numbers. And he's talking about Deuteronomy. So this is the date of the covenant. We are going to look through the covenant. So according to the covenant, my spirit is what I'm going to live with you. Come on, are we together in this place? That means all that this whole covenant thing is about is, for one thing, is for my spirit to be in your midst. Now that means the spirit being in your midst is all that I covenanted with you about. Come on, are we together in this place? That means, when I came to covenant with Abraham, and then I came to take you out of slavery, made a covenant with you. When I picked you out from Egypt, the covenant that I made with you has this promise. The promise of the covenant is that my spirit remains with you. Now, and God says that the spirit that remains with you should be the cause of reason for building, not your technical know-how. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm talking about, right? So you are not going to build because you know how to build. You are not going to build because you have professionals to help you. You are not going to build because you have built before. You are going to build because I have made a covenant with you, and the covenant is simple. You are the people that have my spirit. Come on, are we together? And as a people that have my spirit, I will not bypass you and go and build with somebody else. It is better for my spirit to be, hallelujah, now, it's better for my spirit to be with you and my spirit causing you to build than you going for, how do we call it, a technical know-how without my spirit. So God is simply telling the children of these people, Zerubbabel and the team, that all that there is about you guys, see, all that there is about you Israelites, all that there is about you people is that you have great advantage. And your advantage is because you are sons of the covenant. And the covenant is that my spirit remains in your midst. Did you see that? He says that my spirit remains among you. Glory to God. So the spirit of God amongst you is your greatest advantage. The spirit among you is your reason for building. The spirit of God among you is your reason for progressing in the work. The spirit among you is the reason to leap over walls. The spirit among you is the reason to win. The spirit among you is that which is going to bring you to completion, or is going to help you to complete the work that you are doing. And the spirit among you is that spirit that's going to be responsible to make the glory of the house that was built by non-professionals more glorious than the one that was built by professionals. So he says that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. And the latter house, the second house, which is called the latter house, is that house that was built by everybody. Are we together? It is the house that was built by everybody. It's the house that everybody was involved. Not because they were skillful, but because the spirit was in their midst. So we are talking about the latter house is going to be a house that every single person is going to be involved. Come on, are we together in this place? Now, the messages have been uploaded. So those of you who have the podcast addict and all of that, go and download them. Else this message will sound like fallacy. You know, what are we building? Do you understand? So the spirit in the midst of God's people is what is going to cause them to build. Now, when I talk about build, what am I talking about? I'm talking about that which God has designed for us to build, i.e. the church. Because we are talking about the spirit amongst us. See, the spirit in the local church. The spirit amongst us in the local church. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, there is a covenant of God with the people, as he said. And these people were the offspring of the covenant. What I mean by that is that God covenanted with their fathers. Their fathers were dead. All right? Their fathers were dead. I mean, Solomon is dead. David is dead. They built a very great house for the Lord. Okay? But then the temple is broken and God says, you know what? I want you to build. And this building, I want everybody to be involved. All right? Okay, let's continue the reading, verse 6, so that you don't... No, let's begin from verse 2. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. So which people are going to work? The high priest is going to work. Zerubbabel is going to work. And all the people of the land. So it means that in building in the local church, one thing is required, strength. You can't lack strength and serve God in the local church. You cannot lack strength and serve God in the local church. It means that to serve God successfully in the local church, you have to be strong. Hallelujah. Because God says, be strong and build. That means until you are strong, you cannot be part of the builders. Weak people don't build. People who don't have solid convictions don't build. People who don't have unflinching determination can't build. He says, be strong and build. Are we together in this place now? Be strong and build. Now, the building, I'm not even talking about the strength now. The building is going to be done by everybody. Man, woman, every leader, every person included. Hallelujah. Say, we are building a great church. So everybody included. Everybody inclusive. Yeah. Every believer inclusive in this wave. Prepare to be the answer heaven gives. Glory. Hallelujah. Some lines in the lyrics of our songs, they are crazy. Because who wrote the Hallelujah. Every believer inclusive in this wave. Prepare to be the answer heaven gives. As laborers by the Spirit are sent, great signs and wonders flooding every space. You got to be crazy to write this. Hallelujah. Yeah. So everybody inclusive. Teenagers building. Hallelujah. People in their 20s, their 30s, everybody ready building. Glory to God. Yeah. And you see, like I told you the first time we spoke about this scripture, the building, the foundation was laid, but the building had been left unattended to for over 16 years. Over 16 years, because the people looked at the glory of the former house and they look at what they are building now. And it looks like, boy, are we really doing something? So it took prophecy, God-given prophecy, to Haggai to bring out this prophecy to get the people stirred up to work. See, when I talk about the importance of prophecy, then would have looked at that scripture also in a different light. Hallelujah. That, my God, I won't go there. Hallelujah. When people lose zeal, it is not zeal they lose. It is prophecy they lack. Do you understand? Where there is constant prophecies, people are stirred up to work. People are stirred up to move. People are stirred up. So anytime you see people give up, anytime you see people melt down, anytime you see people who don't want to do again, it is simply because they are not focusing on prophecy, or they lack prophecy. Hallelujah. So one time the Bible says that, pay heed to God's prophet and you shall prosper. Are we together? So when you lose prophecy, you cannot function. When you lose sight of prophecy, you can't function. You become scared when you don't have to be scared. You will give up when you don't have to give up. You become confused where you don't have to be confused. Why? Because your mind has been shifted from prophecy. See, prophecy comes to stir you up to divine vision. Prophecy stirs you up for divine mandate. Prophecy brings you up to be fired for that which God wants to do with your life. So one time the Bible says, despise not prophecies. Despise not prophesying. He says, quench not the spirit by despising prophecies. That means when you lack prophecies, when you don't have a prophecy in your life, when you don't have, you are not looking at the prophecy, you cannot war. Timothy was told the other day, he says that by the prophecies that have gone ahead of you, war in this prophecy, war with these prophecies. Hallelujah. Prophecies bring us stirring. Prophecies bring us power. Prophecies bring us the ability to keep on. Prophecy, because you see, something can happen, boom, like I'm talking to you about 16 years, then the building is left. I won't do again. So it goes about with their normal things and their normal whatever and they are doing and all of that. Until, Haggai, God through Haggai, brought a prophecy. And the prophecy was centered about God's, it was centered on God's covenant with his people. That you see, the thing is not about your expertise. You are a people that covenant with. You see, God says something in Exodus 19:6. Quickly, let's look at that. Exodus 19:6. I'm going to take my time and teach, and then we're going to pray. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Quickly. Let's begin from 5. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. This is what God is telling the children of Israel. He says, out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Come on, are we together? Although the whole earth is mine. Think about it. So I created the whole earth. Go to 6. So I created the whole earth. But if you obey my voice, i.e., if you concentrate on my relationship with you and act as I tell you, what is going to happen? You are going to be to me a treasured possession. Although the whole world is mine, I will choose you above all the nations of the earth. This is covenant. Then look at that. He says, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, and this is what gave the natural Israelite an upper hand over every nation. Why? Because there was a covenant of God with them. But you see, what is the essence of the covenant? Back to Haggai. Haggai says that, you know what? According to the covenant that I made with you when I took you out of Egypt, my spirit remains with you. Now, let's look at the covenant quickly. Let's go to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus 29:45. So what is the covenant? Let's try and figure out the covenant. Now, according to Haggai, what is the covenant? According to Haggai, what is the covenant? Talk to me. According to Haggai, what is that? My spirit remaining amongst you. Okay, let's begin from 44. Okay, so you are all going to read 44. 1, 2, go. Come on, what's wrong with you right now? 1, 2, go. Next verse. Now, so this is it. Now, I've given you an assignment to do, and then you're doing it. Now, when this thing is done, this is what's going to happen. I will dwell among the Israelites. I can talk about that for a very long time. I will dwell among the Israelites. And be their God. So the covenant that Haggai refers to as God saying, my spirit will remain among you, or my spirit remains among you, is this: God himself among you. Now, let's quickly wrap this on that level, then I'll push it further. When God says that I will be with you, it doesn't mean he will carry his throne and come. When God says, I will be with you, it means that my spirit will be with you. That means you can't separate God from his spirit. Somebody said, where in the Bible that the Bible said the Holy Spirit is God? That's what you got here. Because God says, I'll be with you. And then he says, what I mean by I'll be with you, praise the name of the Lord. So I will be with you. My spirit, as I have said, my spirit remains among you. Now look at what God says. He says that the spirit of God in the, what did I say? Come on, say it again. So he says, I will dwell among the people of Israel. That means I will settle with them. Now, before you could find me anywhere. Are we together? Maybe you can meet God there. You meet God in bits and pieces. But I'm telling you that I make a covenant with you today that when my spirit is at a place, that is where I am settled. Hallelujah. So listen to this. When God told the children of Israel that I will be with you, or I will dwell, like what would you, I will dwell among the Israelites. It means that it is among the Israelites that I will find my settlement. That's where I will settle. And God comes years later to tell Zerubbabel through Haggai that, listen, you are going to build because if you've lost the records, you are an Israelite. And these people are Israelites. And when it comes to the Israelites, my spirit remains. My spirit is not just there. It remains. It means that my spirit settles there. What does that mean? When it comes to Israelites, that's where I dwell. That's where I'm settled. So the spirit of God at a place is an indication of where God settles. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. Now let's go through another thing. Let's go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20, I believe. Nope. All right. So let's do Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12. Leviticus 26, verse 12. Let's go to 11 now. Are you following? Do you understand what I'm teaching? Okay. I will put my dwelling place among you. Mandele Gabragadafa. Hallelujah. Let's begin from 10. Let's go to 9. Let's go to 8. Let's go to 7. Let's go to 6. Why don't we go to 4? Okay, so look at that. Verse 1. I was just carrying you out to one. That's what I was just doing that. Do not make idols or set up an image or sacred stone for yourselves. And do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. Now, he did not say, I am the Lord. I am the Lord God. When he says, I am the Lord, your God, it means that I am yours. Now, everybody can go carve a stone. Everybody can do what? I don't have a problem with them. And you would see that throughout the Old Testament, okay? You know, there are people who have the questions that God is wicked. And say, why? They say, why would God allow his own people to die? In the Old Testament. All right, and sometimes there's fire and all that. No, hold on. The thing is this. All the other nations that worshipped idols, God did not have any problem with them. He didn't care. Okay? There is a problem when the children of Israel go into idolatry. Because that is not theirs. That is not their portion. I want to preach. I'm telling you, like, I really want to preach now. See, that's not their portion. They bowing down to creatures is not their portion. They are a special breed of people, and they are the people where God settles. He gives somebody a shoulder and say, I refuse to settle for less.
Do you understand what I'm talking about? So God says that do not make idols or set up an image or sacred stone for yourself, and do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord, your own God. You have something bigger. You have something better. You have something more stronger. Oh, glory to God. Glory. Glory to God now. You have something more powerful. You have something that can shake the whole universe. You have that thing that created that which people bow to. So God is saying, I want to educate your mind. You are not like the world. You are not like the people of the world. That which they bow down to, you don't bow down to. Why? Because I am for you. Ooh, ooh, glory to God now. Okay, next verse. Let's continue. Verse 2. Are you following this? I'm still talking about the spirit amongst us, okay? Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. He says, observe my Sabbath. He didn't say, go to church on Saturdays. That's not what he's talking about. Yeah, praise the name of the Lord. It has nothing to do with going to church on Saturdays now. You know, man, I don't have time. But you know, the Sabbath, Jesus made a statement. He says that the Sabbath was made for man. And not the other way around. And then at one point, Jesus called himself the master of the Sabbath. He's the God of the Sabbath. And then Hebrews tells us what the Sabbath is. The Sabbath was a foreshadowing of the rest in Christ. So, when Christ had not come, they kept the Sabbath. Are we together? And the keeping of the Sabbath was a foreshadowing. It's like, for example, you know, when Christ had not come, they sacrificed bulls and goats and all of that. All those nyama nyama things they were doing, it was a foreshadow. Foreshadow means that, okay, for example, how do I mean? I'm looking for an example so that all of you can understand. You know, the thing is not the real, but we give you something that you can take hold body for the rest, for the real to come. So that's a foreshadow. Foreshadow is take this old body. Yeah, it's like, you know, you have some $2 billion somewhere that has to come, $2 billion. You understand? Then, you know, your contract, and then the people tell you it's going to be ready next month. But you know what? You just take $500,000 to hold body. You know, that's a foreshadow. Hallelujah. So the Sabbath, all those things, they were shadows. And you remember where the Sabbath came from? The Sabbath came from the fact that, and God rested on the, do you understand? So God rested on the, so God worked and rested. And as God rested, God told his people, rest. The Genesis rest of God is not, God did not rest because he was tired. The rest of God was part of his creation. In fact, it's a very powerful part of God, the explanation of God when it came to creation. I can't talk about this thing right now. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 4. We're going to come back here. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Let me just, you know, I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave any ambiguity in your head, you know? Okay. Now. Hallelujah. Now. Glory to God. Okay. Now look at Hebrews chapter number 4. Woo, hallelujah now. Glory to God. How many of you know the Bible is so sweet? Sweeter than honey. All right. He says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. Now look at that. Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Next verse. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed.
All right, talking about the New Testament, the Old Testament guys who heard God preach to them, and they did God preach them through the prophets, and they did not believe. They did not enter the rest, but they were observing Sabbath. Saturdays, they are very okay. They just go and sit in the church for 6 hours, 24 hours, and all of that. But the Bible says some of them did not enter into God's rest. That means the real rest was not the Sabbath. Let me continue. Verse 3. Look at that. Now we, say we. No, you didn't come to church now. Say we. Now we who have believed enter that rest. So, in the New Testament, how do you say, listen, I'm a serious Sabbatarian. I'm a Sabbatarian, complete, 100%. Do you know what makes you a Sabbatarian? Your faith in Christ. The moment you believe in Jesus, you have entered into the Sabbath. So God gave a law in the Old Testament. He says that the Sabbath is going to be a statute forever. As the phone says, "I'm sorry, question forever," but it's not meaning that forever. But it's not true. When the world finishes, that means it's not ever. Do you understand? That means it cannot be talking about we will go to church on Saturdays. Forever means forever. It means it has no end. So does it mean when we go to heaven to we'll be going to church on Saturdays? That doesn't work. So if the forever means that they will enter when they believe in Jesus, they have entered into rest forever. Come on, are we together in this place now? Now let's continue. He says, look at that. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger. Look at what God says. They shall never enter my rest. These guys, talking about the Old Testament guy, these guys were following the Sabbath, but they did not have rest. So it means the rest of the Old Testament is not the real rest. Do you understand now? Okay, it says, they shall never. And yet his works. Bavrade, I need time. Look at this. And yet his work have been finished since the creation of the world. That means from the creation of the world, God revealed that he was done. That means the works were done. So when you read the creation story is not just about creation. The creation story is like Jesus on the cross saying it is finished. God rested on the seventh day. Jesus said it is finished. It's equal to Sabbath. The rest of God, he didn't create anything. The rest of Jesus, that it is done. Okay, let's continue. You understand. Next verse now. Next verse 4. For somewhere, he has spoken about the seventh day. So what is the seventh day? Seventh day Adventist. So he's talking about Baptist, Sabbath now. So he says, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. So this, he says, God has spoken about the Sabbath somewhere. So when he says somewhere, it means that he has forgotten it was in Genesis. Okay? So he says, for somewhere. So in Genesis, he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. That means on the seventh day, he did nothing. Do you know that there was never an eighth day? When he called forth light, the Bible says that was the first night and the day, and it became day one, day two, day three, day four. And then there was no more eighth day. Go and check your Bible. You'll find eighth day and on the ninth day. Have you ever found it before? After seventh day, there's no more a day. Do you know what that means? All the days are coming from the seventh day. All the days are coming. It means that all the days have their expression from rest. Do you understand now? Come on, are we together in this place? So it means that in the mind of God, eighth day doesn't exist outside rest. Ninth day doesn't exist outside rest. tenth day doesn't exist. All the days are in rest. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay, now. So he says, God rested from all his works. It means that he did not. Does it mean that right now God is not working? Is God working or he's not working? He's working. Okay, for example, the Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world. That was after creation. He's still working. But he is working in rest. From rest. It means that the seventh day rest is powerful and complete enough. See, it is rest, but it is active rest. It is a rest that is active. It is a rest that is powerful. It's an energetic rest. It's a rest of power. He is at rest, but things are flowing. So it didn't mean that God slept on the seventh day. Do you get it? And so God was tired, so he had to go. He had to just go and sleep. They thought it's inside the books that God was tired. God will punish whoever brought that thing. So look at that. So let's continue. Next verse. Now look at that. Next verse. Verse 5. And again, in the passage above says, they shall never enter my rest. So he says, look at the trick now. God spoke about rest, that the rest was there. Okay? From the beginning, rest was there. And again, God comes to say, they shall never enter my rest. What does it mean? Next verse. 6. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience. So the Sabbath is not a day where everybody goes to church. The Sabbath is a day of belief. The Sabbath is faith. It's not a day. Because those who did not believe, they were still doing the Sabbath. They were going to church on Saturdays. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay, next verse. Look at that. Verse 7. God again set a certain day. Oh, now, glory to God. So look at that. It says, God, because the Saturday didn't work, because the Saturday was a foreshadow, and people were still doing Saturday, but they had not really entered the Sabbath, God has set aside another day, which is called today. Today. So what is the Sabbath day? Hiya. So what is the Sabbath day? The Sabbath day, what is the Sabbath? What is the new Sabbath day? Let me put it that. What's the new Sabbath day? You people, I can preach this word, the whole earth will shake. No, what look at that. He says God again set a certain day, and God gave that day a name. The name of that day is called today. It means that Sabbath is today. As long as, so he continues that this he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That means Sabbath is today. What is Sabbath? Sabbath is today. What does that mean? When you place your faith in Jesus, anytime there is today is Sabbath. So you can go to church on Monday is Sabbath. You can go to church as long as it is today, it is Sabbath. So Sabbath is not just Saturday. It's not a day. Sabbath is today. As long as we are in today, is Sabbath. And what is that today? The today is when you hear his voice. That is when you hear the gospel preached to you. Your Sabbath starts the day you accept the gospel. Not the day you went to church on Saturday or on Sunday. So it's not about people who go to church Sunday are not more special than those who go to church. It's just a day you have chosen. People can say, you know what? We should go to our own church. We go on Mondays. And it does not mean those people are sinners. Do you understand? Okay, let's continue. Look at that. Verse 8.
You people, you like word too much. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Next verse. I won't explain that. Verse 9. There remains, now look at, there remains then a Sabbath rest. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. So there is a particular Sabbath rest that has not been enjoyed. Okay? Now look at what he says in the next verse. Verse 10. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works. Just as God did from his. So what is Sabbath? Sabbath is resting from all your work. Does it mean you won't go to work again? No. What does it mean? Sabbath is a revelation of, it's a revelation that teaches all has been done in Christ. Rest in Christ. That means you don't do to be accepted. That means you don't do things to be accepted by God. Do you understand Sabbath? So Sabbath is a day, is a time of not doing things to please God. As God rested from his, in other words, when God finished everything, nothing, he does not do anything. He has rested. He does not create something again. He does not, as God, this is powerful. As restful as God is, he is the most powerful person. So we are talking about power from rest. We are talking about glory from rest. We are talking about increase from rest. We are talking about advancement from rest. We are talking about peace from rest. We are talking about righteousness from rest. So you are not righteous because you have never chased a woman before. You are righteous because you have believed Jesus. And the day you believe, which is called today, when you believe that day in that today, you don't work again to be righteous. You know, are we together in this place? Say, I am in today. You didn't come to church. I say, I am in today. So every day is Sabbath rest. Glory to God. Glory. Saturday is part. Sunday is part. Wednesday is part. Today is what? Wednesday. We are still resting. We will never stop resting. Because look at it, says, anyone, he says, anyone, say anyone. Anyone, man or woman, anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works. And you rest as God did from his. Say, I rest in Christ. Go back to Leviticus, okay? Yeah. Let's go to Leviticus. Let's try and finish. I have about 5 scriptures, and we are still somewhere in Leviticus. Hallelujah. Yeah. So he says that go to the, we're at the top. Go to the top where we're at verse 2 was the same. Yeah, so where he say you keep, observe my Sabbath. So that's what I mean by observe. So observe my Sabbath here. What does it mean? Believe in Christ and rest. Do you understand? So don't come and tell me. And have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Next verse. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands. Next verse. Quick. I will send you rain in its season. I will send you rain in its season. And the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruits. Glory to God. Next verse. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest. And the grape harvest will continue until planting. And you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. Shout it, I have the Holy Ghost. Come on, like you mean, shout it, I have the Holy Ghost. Don't be seeing cockroaches and planting of, you know, all this thing here. Here he's talking about the blessings of God in your midst when the Spirit is amongst you. So he's not talking about you are going to plant cocoa, you are going to plant momoni and cabbage and all of that. No. Let's continue. I'll handle it. Let's continue. Verse 6. I will grant peace in the land and you will lie down and no one will make you afraid. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah now. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. Ooh, glory to God. Shouted, I have the Holy Ghost. Next verse now, verse 7. Oh, hallelujah. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Verse 8. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor. Hiya. Badakasa talabaya. These are things you blast in tongues. Like when it comes, you just bust it. Hallelujah. He says, I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers. And I will keep my covenant with you. Glory to God. Hey, yeah. I'm blessed. Glory to God. I am blessed. Yeah. Okay, next verse. Verse 10 now. You will still be eating last year's harvest. Ah, yeah. Glory to God. When you will have to move it out to make room for the new. Hey. Hey. Glory. Hadabashakavaya. Woo. Glory to God. He says, you'll be eating last year's harvest. And sire, then the new year's harvest is in. So you're going to take the old one out. And then there is always plenty. There's always plenty. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. I refuse to fear. Say, I have a wonderful life. Shout it, I have a wonderful life. Now look at it. Verse 11 now. Sit down. Verse 11. This is what is going to happen. I will put my dwelling place among you. Why will all these things happen around you? Because there is a God in your midst. What does it mean for God to be in your midst? My spirit remains amongst you. Shouted, we are a fruitful church. You didn't come to church now. Shouted, we are a fruitful church. One more time, we are a fruitful church. Because the Spirit is amongst us. One more time, because the Spirit is amongst us. Shout a blessing overload. Shout a blessings overload. Blessings overload. Blessings overload. Blessings overload. Blessings overload. So when God settles in a people, there is a clear evidence. There is an evidence of growth. There is an evidence of plenty. There is an evidence of abundance. There is an evidence of peace and tranquility. Now, next verse now, verse 12. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. So, the covenant that God reminded Zerubbabel and the high priest through Haggai was this covenant. The covenant that, listen, Uncle Zeru, this work has been abandoned. This work does not look like a success. But can you shift your eye from the work and from the house that doesn't look like it and concentrate on the fact that the Spirit remains among you? Now, Zerubbabel is going to ask, what does it mean for the Spirit to be among us? All right, then you are going to go to the covenant and you will understand that when the Spirit is among you, God is among you. And when God is amongst you, it affects you. It affects the thousands. It affects the 10,000.
It affects all the things that are around you. It affects increase. It affects productivity. It affects everything around you. So Zerubbabel, this house is going to be a success, not because the people have what it takes, but because God is going to be our door. There is a spirit that is among you. You will not fail, not because you are powerful, not because you have the might, but because God is among you. And this is a covenant thing. My integrity is on the line. My love, Messiah, my character is on the line. You will not fail. Yes, the building does not look like it. The life does not look like it. Everything does not look like it. But I shout it into your spirit. You are going to get there. And you will get there in a grand style. It is going to be more glorious. It is going to be more powerful. The testimony will be louder. The testimony will be greater. It will be like you were dreaming. But hey, it was all the work of the Spirit. Who am I talking to tonight? It is all the work of the Spirit. It's all the work of the Spirit. You increase. Brothers and sisters, you are successful. I said it may not look like it, but we are a product of the covenant. My spirit remains amongst you, Balasheva, and you will not fear. You will lie down in peace, and you will not be afraid. You will walk from rest, and you will not be afraid. Why? There is a God in your midst. There is Kopalataya. So he says, no idol worship here. What you have is bigger. No molding of images, not carving of stones. You have something bigger. You have something bigger. I speak over your life. Oh my God, every wall comes down, every mountain comes down at the face of the God that is in between you, that is in your midst, that is with you, that is indwelt in your spirit, in the name of Jesus. Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. Shout it, I don't fail. There is a God in my midst. Ha ha ha. Say, I don't fail. I carry God. Shout, I don't fail. I carry God. Son, I don't fail. I carry God. Son, I don't fail. I carry God. Say, I may not have all the expertise, but I have all of God. I may not have all the know-how, but I have all of the Spirit. I will not fail. I will not fail. We are a church with the Holy Ghost. We are a church with the Spirit of God. We are a church with the Almighty God. It's a covenant thing. It's a covenant thing. It's a covenant thing. It's a atoshavatala Messiah. Wherever you go individually, you are characterized by the Spirit. You are characterized by the Spirit. You are characterized by the Spirit. Oh, on your way to the market, on your way in that house, oh my God, in that classroom, you are characterized by the Holy Ghost. Bole Kosaya. And he said, you will chase your enemies. Mantelege Bragavaya. Anything that rises up against you will fall down for your sake, because there is a God in your midst. There is a God in your midst. Oh my God, no man born of a woman can put diseases on you. No man born of a woman will be able to take away your seed. There is a God in your midst. There is Ayeko Shabaya, Rekobaya, and it is not a promise. It's a covenant thing. It's a covenant thing. It's a covenant thing. Shebarakasaya. According to the covenant, 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 according to the covenant. Shebaradia seya. Oh, hallelujah. Reno Shabaya. Hey. Rekosota Labaya. Rembelege Bragadi Soka Fire. According to that covenant, the covenant of his spirit with you. Rebe Sonda Labahaya. You will not be afraid. 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 You are bold. You are tough. You are stronger. You are powerful. You are well able. You are well able. Why? Why? There is a God in your midst. There is a God. There is a God. There is a God in your midst. Bigger than shrines, bigger than idols. You are bigger, you are bigger. For the bigger one lives, he lives. He lives in your midst. Kadalama satalabaya. Legedelebo shakataya. Berekoske te pragadia seya. Lerondo, 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 lerondo labasaya. Kisko pragati e koske tala mashanda la bahaya. Hallelujah. Sit down for 2 seconds.
So he tells Zerubbabel, go back to the covenant. Go and learn of what I said about me dwelling in your midst. Go to verse 13.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, there is a spirit in our midst. Woo, hallelujah. See, there's a spirit in our midst. There is a spirit in our midst. There is a spirit in our midst.
Look at that. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You remember what he told them in Haggai? He says, when I brought you out of Egypt, this is what I told you. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you will no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. Hey, hey, glory to God.
This is the covenant. I brought you out so that you will not be slaves. You will not be slaves. You will not be slaves. I brought you out for a reason. You will not be a slave. I brought you out for a reason. Addictions cannot hold me. They cannot hold you. I brought you out for a reason. You will not be slaves. Nobody can lord over you. No spirit can lord over you. Hey, you will not be intimidated because you are out of Egypt. You will not be scared. You are out of Egypt. You are out of Egypt. You are out. You are out. You are out. Hallelujah.
We hear a lot of things happen. We hear people kill themselves. We hear people go through depression. We hear people lose it. We hear people and all of that. You want to say it? I am brought out not to be a slave.
I did not accept Jesus to be a slave. I did not come to the Lord to be a slave. Hey, Mokomara di Seba Kataya, Adeko Sabaya. I enjoy my peace. I enjoy my life. I enjoy my success. I enjoy the ride. I enjoy the journey. God is in my midst. I will not be afraid. God is in my midst. I will not be depressed. God is in my midst. He is in my midst by his spirit. Kadava Shatalabaya. Lego Bragadia Son Telegahasa. Shouted, I am not a slave. 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 I did not believe in Jesus to be under family curses. I did not believe in Jesus to be in generational curses. I am out. Come on, I am out. Shouted, I am out. You believe in this word, shouted, I am out. I am out. I am out. I am out. Sit down for 2 seconds. Let's try and wrap up. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with Ayabaseya, with a head held high. You are going to walk chest out because you are saved. You are going to walk chest out because you are saved. Come on here. You will not chicken out. I'm talking to you. You will not chicken out. You will not be scared to defend yourself when you need to. You won't chicken out. He saved you so that you will not bow down your head. Hey, my God, you will lift your head and your shoulders. You are going to lift up your head. You will lift up your chest. You are saved, brother. Heads held high. Heads held high. Heads held high. My God. My God. My God. My God. My God. Aya, aya, kolava sadaya. Pray as we get out of here. Come on, pray, pray, pray. Shebra gada bahaya. Oh, bora kaske telebo shavaya. Bada da 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 bo shakataya. Lere bregedo shavaya. Dandelege bragadoshi. Liko pragaske telebo shavahaya. Ole bragadi esendelebehaya. Ko paragade lego shavahaya. Hallelujah. So he saved us. Look at that. So that you can walk with heads held high. You won't walk as one. You see, the word walk there, it doesn't mean that he saved us so that we can be gallivanting. No, it means that you will progress with confidence. You will progress with confidence in the midst of millions. It will not be about the qualifications. You go there, you meet professors. It does not mean that checking out. There is a God in your midst.
Oh my God, I carry the posture of the saved. I carry the posture of the saved. I carry the posture of the saved. I carry the posture of a man that has been indwelt by the Almighty God. Heads held up high. 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 Beloko safalia kosabaya. You are walking with shoulders up. You are walking with shoulders up. You are chinning up. You are walking with chins up. My goodness, in the name of Jesus. I hear in my spirit to tell somebody, you are not a child of shame. I hear in my spirit to tell somebody, you are not a child of shame. I hear in my spirit to tell somebody, you are not a child of shame. Do not listen to their lies. Do not listen to it. This is why you were saved. Oh, Moshavaya, to advance with your head held high. Moshavaya, you are not a disgrace. You are not a black goat. You are born again, spirit filled, born with the precious blood of Jesus. My goodness, Balasataya, and you are not in something that is a disgrace. This church is not a shame. It's not a disgrace. It's not a disgrace. It's, we are proud about it. We are proud about what the Spirit of God does. We are proud. We are proud about the quality of the Word of God in our midst. This is our confidence. Boshe koba, rebe lokosata, eredo boshi balakavaya. Come on, lift up your voices. Call me proud. I'm just confident in my God. Call me arrogant. I'm just confident in my God. Call me whatever. I'm just confident in my God. Hey, my God, the Spirit of God is in us.
Come on, pray in tongues in the next 2 seconds. Badalagos ke bragadava. Lika parando lega bragadia sote. Oh my God, I'm a child of glory. 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 Kada da 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 bo shaba da ba da ba ha. Rekose ke paragadiye se.
Precious Spirit of God. Kada da 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 ba. Bela graske praga basate.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
We trust you've been blessed by this message. This and many more messages by Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu are now available on all major podcasting platforms. Kindly search for Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu and tap the follow button for more. Visit us at any GWC church near you in Sawom, Kutunse, Achimota, Bubuashi, Kumase, Kintampo, and Oda. God bless you.
In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.